Teen Challenge is a 12-month, faith-based drug and alcohol rehabilitation center serving men and women between the ages of 18 and 65. So if you can get over the teen part, we're halfway there. There are a lot of good programs out there, but the most secular programs have a 5 to 10% success rate. Teen Challenge has a significantly higher success rate, with up to 50% of people who graduate surveyed 5 years later are still free from drugs and alcohol and positively contributing to society. They actually did some studies to try to disprove the success rate and actually found that it was a bit higher. And they first thought and they attributed to the Jesus factor. There is no cure for drugs. The pills, the powders, and the needles are so strong that the only way to get off of them is to get on something stronger, and that's the saving grace of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, that because we're not faith-based, we do not qualify for government funding. If we were to receive government funding, we would lose the very change agent, Jesus Christ, that gives us the success rate that we have. And we're not willing to compromise that, are we? No. We have a 26-page rulebook that the students receive when they arrive at the program, but our prayer is that by the time they graduate, they're no longer subject to the law, but to the Spirit. Please help me welcome the team as they come up and share reality is.
Reality is choosing to make all relationships second to your drug of choice. Reality is feeling so inadequate as a son and a father that you turn to drugs and alcohol as an escape. Reality is becoming unemployable because of the powerlessness and unmanageability you create in your life because of drug abuse. Reality is waking up in the hospital told you've been in a coma for 5 days as a result of a drug overdose. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is your father dying from a massive heart attack in a restaurant in front of friends and family. What is reality? Reality is your 13-year-old son knocking out with a hockey stick because he thought you were hurting his mother and calling 911 because he thought he had killed you. What is reality? Reality is leaving the hospital after your wife has your baby only to return 3 hours drunk, 3 hours later drunk. What is reality? Reality is 3 impaired driving charges in 4 years. How do I know this is reality? Because it was me.
What is reality? Reality is not being able to support your wife and kids with your normal day job, so you start doing jobs for the kind of people that nobody should know and the jobs that nobody wants to do, only to end up on 3 different occasions, shot once and stabbed twice. Reality is wanting to kill yourself so bad that you eat 48 extra strengths, sleeping pills, only to wake up in the hospital 3 days later. And reality is getting 3 DUIs in 1 week. One's a hit and run, so you end up serving time, not being able to see your children for their birthdays, Christmas, or all of that. How do I know this is reality? Because this was mine.
Even though Mark, Rick, and I have had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The truth is that God is working within me, creating clarity, hope, and vision for my future. The truth is that even after all the pain I've caused, I graciously still have support from my loved ones. Truth is that through God's compassion, I will become the resilient father my son longs for. The truth is now I see life with abundant growth and potential when I'm with Christ.
The truth is that on February 1st, 2017, I came to Teen Challenge determined to change my life. The truth is that because I am now sober, I can repair the damages done with my wife and kids. The truth is that with God's help, I can change who I was and have hope for a better future. The truth is because of Teen Challenge, I can now be the father, the husband, the son, and the brother that I've never been.
The truth is, I moved away from my family and came to Teen Challenge, and now that I'm closer to God, I'm closer to my family. The truth is, I can look my kids in their eyes now when I talk to them, instead of staring at the ground. And the truth is, I believe God spared my life for a reason, and maybe that reason is for me to be here right now, talking to you.
And Jesus said, "You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Even though we've all had different realities, we've all been changed by the same truth. The reality is that the need is great, and the truth is that the Lord is willing that none shall perish. We fly under the banner of rehabilitation, but we are actually a discipleship program that allows spiritual rehabilitation to occur. When you send someone to Teen Challenge, it's like sending them to spend 12 months with your pastor and the elders of your church in lockdown. Let me ask, if you spent 12 months with these people, would you not have an encounter with the Lord? Help me welcome Lee as he comes up and shares his story with you.
Good morning, everyone. So I'll be happy to let you guys know I'm actually from Edmonton. I am 42 years old. I've been in Teen Challenge now for 5 months. So having walked in a broken road, this is the story of my return to the straight and narrow, my surrender. My family structure has no spiritual conditioning of any kind. My mom had left my biological father because he was an alcoholic, and I later found out he was a drug addict as well. My mom then remarried when I was around 6. I consider this man to be my father. He provided for me, supported me, and encouraged me right from day one. For I didn't seek the kingdom of God before above all else and live righteously through faith. This made a huge impact on my early development as a child. I hung around older kids, and this was the start of serious wrong choices, as I just wanted to fit in. Disobedience was rampant, and I was disciplined at school on a regular basis. And I also began watching pornography and became sexually active by grade 6. This was the start of my first addiction, which was stealing. Even though I had all I asked for materially from my parents, the gratification, the adrenaline, the acceptance from my peers became an obsession very quickly. Around the age of 12, I acquired my first criminal conviction of break and enter. I was caught by my next door neighbor and ended up on probation. I had been entering properties while people had slept while I was delivering the papers. My family and I, accompanied by the police, had to actually pay restitution to the many families that I had wronged, and I actually returned all the money. This damaged my father's hope, encouragement, communication, and even passion to fully engage in my life, as trust was broken. This was the beginning of a huge shift in paradigm for myself, as I actually began to look for healthy outlets. Relationships and all motivations were actually directed to athletics and healthy peer dynamics. I would maintain part-time employment while I was in junior high and high school. Activities would include progressive skateboarding, golfing, basketball, and I played competitive paintball as well. I remained a C-average student while barely applying myself in school. The dynamic in my household remained very critical of all things that I did. Nothing I did seemed good enough, as my father's expectations were very high because of my early childhood mishaps. I couldn't understand why he kept pushing me so hard, and I began to actually hold many resentments towards him. I struggled in many areas as I never received recognition of any accomplishments at home, so I began to look for them elsewhere. I continued to hold on to a life of deception as I secretly maintained unhealthy relationships with sinful people. When I turned 18, I was introduced to the alcohol and the nightclub scene. I had graduated high school and acquired full-time employment with TELUS. I was making an insane amount of money for a 19-year-old. The covet of money began, and I wandered further from faith. This was the beginnings of further sorrows for me. I remained in the lifestyle of daily binge drinking at bars with friends for 4 years straight. I never had thoughts of saving for my future and ensuring financial success. I felt the need to change direction again in my life as it was spiraling the drain. I enlisted in the Canadian Armed Forces. This career was cut short. For personal circumstances, I honorably discharged and I returned to civilian life. This choice crushed my family's hope once again as I failed to follow through with career commitments to country, family, friends, and my girlfriend at the time.
This is when the disease of addiction took absolute precedence in my life. I began to associate with criminals, drug dealers, thieves, and full-time drug addicts. My lifestyle had returned to partying, and cocaine was my primary drug of choice. I developed a motto of work hard, play hard mentality, which escalated out of control because I started working on the oil rigs. At this point, I was a functioning addict. This job enabled my addiction, as I would be fed for 2 weeks and housed, and then I would come home for a week of total unmanageability and denial. After 7 years, I began destroying everything of value to me. Relationships, employment, family support. The powerlessness and the progression of my disease was now actually rendering me homeless. This was the beginning of my seeking recovery through treatment programs and detoxification. At times I felt as though I no longer belonged anywhere, as my identity was lost and my spirit was crushed. I couldn't put more than 6 months sobriety together. Through my promiscuities, I actually met a gal and I now had a son in my life. This was challenging because my struggles with addiction remained first above all. I couldn't even support myself. How was I to remain strong as a father and help him and his mother? Once again, I felt like a failure. Depression and mental health were becoming major concerns as I continued to self-medicate and I fell further into the darkness. While attending yet another treatment center, my mother spoke to me about a place called Teen Challenge. The next week, she was in Alberta to help me prepare all necessary paperwork to apply to the program. I didn't know what to expect from yet another program, but I was absolutely willing to do anything for my recovery. So the beginning of January is when the salvation and the restoration of my spirit began. This is where I get to share all the good stuff. It's amazing how my life is different. My revival has commenced through Christ, who gives me strength beyond all understanding. The community living, the structure, and the practical application have broken through my fears and the wreckage of my past. This has been the start of my healing and freedom, which come from His enduring love. Through spiritual conditioning, my soul has awakened, and I know its worth. With abundance beyond magnitude, the Lord has led me to the truth. The reality of God's presence is not dependent on any place, but only dependent upon the determination to set the Lord always before myself. There is never anything abstract in the Bible. It is always very vivid and real. When God gives a vision of truth, it is never a question of what He will do, but of what we will do. Thank you for this moment of healing and letting me share you my testimony. Before I leave you with scripture that speaks to me, I wanted to share that Teen Challenge has shown me Christ, and it has changed my life. Please become involved in sponsoring change. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mark. I've been in the program for, I'm in my fourth month. I'm 34 years old. I grew up on a farm just outside of Airdrie, Alberta, in a Christian home. I had a loving mother and father, along with five brothers and sisters, one brother and four sisters. It was instilled in us at a very young age that if you wanted something, you had to work for it. So school to me became second. My Souls for Life was 4-H and youth group with the church. At the age of 11, I got my first job working for a farmer for $4 an hour. I worked driving tractors, combines, and working cattle. At the age of 16, I had enough money saved up to buy a truck. Ah, freedom at last. At that time, I turned totally rebellious, stealing, smoking, drinking, doing drugs and sex. At the age of 17, I took a bullfight in school, again doing things against my parents' will. I absolutely loved it. I started booking rodeos and making good money. It was a business to me. Somehow in 2001, I graduated high school and started working for my dad on the farm. That only lasted a month. It was the only job that I've ever been fired from. Along with getting fired also came with getting kicked out of the house. I ended up staying with friends, taking care of a house with an indoor swimming pool, hot tub, and sauna. Party, 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 and rodeo was my life. By the time I was 20, I was making a living, doing every major rodeo in Canada. I had a brand new truck and trailer and was living my dream. I ended up getting kicked out of that place for having too many parties, so I moved to Rimby, Alberta with my aunt and uncle on a dairy farm. I never could live up to my father's standards. Everything I did, he told me I could do better. Yet, in the next breath, when I would ask for his advice, he would say, "You figure it out." He was always too busy. I had a lot of resentment and anger towards him. He always told me if I kept living the way I was living, drinking and partying, that I was on a crash course, but what did he know? At the age of 23, I met the love of my life, Sarah. She just happened to live a half mile from the farm where I was staying. Finally, I found a Christian girl, my girl that my parents approved of, someone they hoped would settle me down. She had two boys, age 1 and 3. I loved all of them and did not shy away from being an instant father. My wife knew and saw that I had a drinking problem, but being manipulative, I convinced her that I would quit drinking after we were married. Well, that never happened. I actually got worse. We bought a house in Bentley. I got an actual job during the winter because it wasn't just me I had to support. It was a wife and two kids. My drinking didn't stop. I would get off work, go to the bar with buddies, get drunk, and come home day after day while my poor wife had to take care of my kids. I was always manipulating and convincing and lying to my wife that I would change. In 2008, my wife got pregnant and we had my daughter. I told her now was the time I would step up to the plate. Well, again, that never happened. 3 hours after my daughter was born, I left the hospital and got drunk. Still managing to hold a job, life was ticking by. In 2009, everything turned for the worst. My father, who I started making amends with, had a massive heart attack in a restaurant at a friend's 30th anniversary. He stood up to say congratulations and boom, hit the floor dead. That would be a turning point in my life, doing drugs and drinking to cope. The next 4 years were a blur. I somehow ended up getting my journeyman B-pressure welding ticket, rigging up a truck, starting out my own welding company, and building a house on 6 acres. Everything was okay for a functioning alcoholic until the night of my daughter's 4th birthday when I got my second impaired. My wife had to pick me up from jail on my daughter's special day, promising once again that I've hit rock bottom and that I would never drink again. 1 week, and I was back in my rut. For another 3 years, I skipped through life, working my welding truck and drinking. Then, impaired number 3 came. Once again, that was rock bottom. No more. 1 week, back at it. A month later, I came home drunk. My wife was still was frustrated and pulled on me, and we fell. My youngest boy, age 13, came upstairs and thought I was hurting his mother. He knocked me out with a hockey stick. Thinking he killed me, he called 911. Because the RCMP were called, I got charged with domestic assault and had a restraining order for the month of December, not being able to have any contact with my family over Christmas. This was the hardest thing I've ever had to endure. That's when I made the call to Teen Challenge. They had been on an outreach at my in-laws' church just 3 months before my third impaired. At that time, I was just too stubborn to admit I needed help. Coming to Teen Challenge has shown me how to cope with things and that God is real. God's not dead. I'm becoming closer to God, and in return, He has blessed me with becoming closer to my family. My oldest son told another student that he has never seen me so happy. After Teen Challenge, I would like to be the father, the husband, the son, the brother that I have never been. I would like to get my welding rig back working, this time using my hands and talents for the work of the Lord. This is my favorite scripture in the Bible, and I'm sure that you will see why. After I got let go from the holding cell and had no place to go because of the restraining order, I went to my grandmother's house. She made supper, and after supper, she always reads this book. It's called The Daily Bread, and this was the verse for that specific day, Romans 13:11-14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in drunkenness, not in debauchery, and not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desire of your sinful nature. Thank you for letting me share my testimony, or my life testimony with you. If it wasn't for your prayer and financial support, none of us at Teen Challenge would be experiencing God's life-changing grace. You must realize that Teen Challenge has truly changed my life. Thank you again.
And help me welcome Rick as he comes up here and shares his story.
Okay. I came to Teen Challenge, 40 pounds lighter, 8 months ago, just over 8 months ago, so I've been clean and sober just over 14 months. Thank you. The one thing about Teen Challenge is I've been to other treatment centers, 14 days, 18 days, 28 days. They don't even compare. This one here, you show up, you come out to the ranch, they call it the ranch. The only animals we have are in the freezer and the students. And when you show up, I burnt a lot of bridges myself. So when you show up, they give you, the respect and your dignity back and trust and accountability. It's amazing. When I wrote this, it was for my kids to read, so I put it in, text message form. Now I can't read it. Everything's abbreviated, so... Man, is it hot up here. You ever have one of those shirts that just kind of shrinks when you go to talk? Reminds me of my mom strangling me when I was a kid. Okay, as you know, my name is Rick. I'm 42 years old. I lived quite the life and failed at some of it also. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Edmonton. Go Calgary. No shoes. All right. Okay. I was raised on a piece of God's green earth 16 miles south of Fort McLeod at a place called Rainbow Ranch. I was the oldest of six kids. We were raised in a Christian home that was very strict because of my dad's previous military past. Being the oldest child on the ranch, I learned a good work ethic. I did chores from the time I woke up until the time I went to bed. My schoolwork suffered from the grueling schedule, which in turn led others to call me stupid, dumb, all sorts of names. That's when I started fighting in school, and I started getting the strap, and then the belt twice as bad when I got home. They had to call your parents to give you the strap. And they were calling my parents so much at work, my parents said, just strap them, and at the end of the month, send us an invoice. I got into grade 6, and the teacher introduced himself, brought me up to the head of the class, gave me my desk, and then put a refrigerator box over top of it with a hole cut in the front so all I could see was a chalkboard, and I couldn't talk to any other students. The kids loved it. They used to hang stockings on it and spray, graffiti and everything. I learned how to hate real quick. When I was 15 or 16, we moved into town. That's when I got my first paying job and I first started drinking. I'd snuck sips of beer before, but now I was actually getting someone to buy it so me and my friends could drink. When I couldn't afford it, I started stealing it from work. Eventually, I was getting in trouble all over town. I was kicked out of my parents' house. I started breaking in empty houses for places to sleep and stay warm. I bounced around from house to house, constantly drinking and ultimately landing in trouble and then locked up. I moved up north to a friend's where I found out I was really good at football. I'd always played rugby, so, football, sissies with equipment. I started to realize I might have a chance at football in college, but I lost it all one afternoon when some friends and I were jumping off a bridge in the river. I jumped in the wrong spot and fell 40 feet into 3 feet of water. I dropped out of school and I started working full time. I was drinking more and more. in and out of jail for a bunch of different things. I eventually met my wife, now my ex-wife, which I didn't see coming because I was always in a drunken haze. We had two beautiful boys who are now 13 and 14. 10 years ago, my brother, who was living with us at the time, was killed in a work-related accident. Just over a year later, my second brother passed away from addiction. My family was at work, and his death was already on Facebook before any of us knew. I couldn't handle it. I was on a roller coaster of destruction. I became suicidal. That's when I started doing all the odd jobs. Went on a rampage twice and prayed that the police would kill me. They ended up taking me down with rubber bullets. I was constantly taking drugs and alcohol. I pushed away everyone and everything. I'd lost my brothers, I was about to lose my wife, and my kids were just hanging on to me by a thread. I ended up in a rotating door between jail and the homeless shelter. About 4.5 years ago, my kids started asking me to take them to church. During that time, their pastor had heard of some of the troubles and problems I'd been causing around town and mentioned a place called Teen Challenge. I was trapped in a hole that I had dug, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper. So I made up some excuse, and I ignored his helpful hand. I realized I'd hit rock bottom when, after doing time and after 2 years, I was being released from the Lethbridge Correctional Center. It was, 2 years, missed my kids' birthdays, Christmas. I was excited because I was going to go visit with them. I was just about out the exit door when I saw an obituary in a newspaper of a guy I used to work with. My addiction took over. I looked his name up in the phone book, got his number, went to a liquor store, used his name and number to buy booze with his points. I figured he was dead. He didn't need them. I spent the next 2 days in the shelter getting drunk and fighting, not even realizing that I'd blown off another visit with my children. I showed up at my parents' house, covered in cuts and bruises and another black eye. That's when they sat me down and started talking to me about Teen Challenge again. This time I actually heard their message. I applied online to Teen Challenge that night, but me and my dad's computer skills are like, so we deleted the application instead of sending it. So when I called them a week later, excited that I was going to get in, they didn't know who I was. But I called them every week, week after week, until I got my date. During my time with Teen Challenge, I've grown closer to God. And thanks to God, he's allowed me to learn patience and forgiveness. Or he's given me the opportunity to learn patience. Now that I know God will forgive me for the things that I've done, I find it easier to forgive myself for my past, which was hard for me to do. I'm a lot closer to my family. I have a great relationship with my kids now. The hardest things I face these days is community living, sharing a bedroom with three other guys. This means bunk beds. Now, I don't know about you all, but this ain't getting on top of no bunk bed. Okay? If I gotta get on a top bunk, somebody better have 911 on speed dial. I've gained new brothers. There's the brothers that you hug on an outreach. And then there's the brothers that you pray for and then want to strangle when you're done praying. just a little while ago, I found myself in a room singing Taylor Swift songs with one of my brothers while he sat there knitting. Yes, you heard me right, knitting. What can I say? The Lord works in mysterious ways. When I've graduated from Teen Challenge, I would like to work at a job at the Detox Center in Fort McLeod where I grew up so I can help other people in addiction and point them on the road to recovery. I'd like to tell them about places like Teen Challenge and how it helped me. If by chance they're not hiring, because I'm in contact with them, I phone them once a month. They all know me. I'm thinking about staying on Teen Challenge for a six-month internship for CSW experience. Never thought I'd say that 8 months ago. The Christ thing they talk about is amazing. Since I've come, a month and a half ago, my parents heard my testimony. My parents, my sister, and my nieces have been going to church every Sunday since. They see the change in me. The only change I see is my waistline. You know? It gets expensive buying clothes, man. But the one thing I like about this place and going out there and being away from everything is I seen a thing on TV a little while ago, and these centers in the big cities, when you do your, I'm going to say your time, like it's jail, but when you finish your program and you come out of that detox or treatment center, there's drug dealers standing outside waiting for you to get you hooked back on. Like, they literally stand right outside the door. And then, you know, you got a liquor store on every corner just about, so it's nice to be out in horse country. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. Without your help, Teen Challenge cannot exist to help people like myself. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 40, verse 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and myrrh. He set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us here today, and thank you for your support. Galatians 5:16 says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your life so you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." And that's a promise from God that we all stand on as changed human beings. God is still working miracles today in our lives and in your guys' lives as well. So thank you so much.
Well, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for your courage and for your humility and transparency in sharing your stories of redemption with us. Thank God that he remakes men as his own children, and women too. Well, I hope that you're encouraged by their testimonies and the work of Teen Challenge. I really appreciate that, Adam, you emphasized that this is essentially a disciple-making ministry. And isn't it great that as disciples are made, they are led to recovery and to freedom? And we want to keep that going.